Now then, LFU, welcome back to Lads Pre-Match Pod, the correct way to start your match day, either if you're on the train driving, on the coach, or if you're staying at home. We have all the pre-match conversation that you, the LFU, needs to get ready for those dreaded 90 minutes of Leeds United football. And do you know what? It's been a decent week. It's not actually been that bad. And we're all prepped and ready, hopefully, for Crystal Palace at home today, 8 p.m. kickoff. On this amazing Saturday night, or what's hopefully going to be an amazing Saturday night. But first, before we get stuck into all the pre-match talk, let's talk about last week's game against Brentford. So, away at Brentford, I have to say, solid result. I cannot do too much complaining on it because I'm personally quite happy with the way it turned out. I don't know about you, LFU, but I think a point that's solid. Let's see what I thought after the game.
So, Leeds United won, Brentford won. In my opinion, a well-earned point. I think we probably should have got a bit more from that game. A little bit frustrated with the referee. I mean, that Goodmanson challenge in the first half just wasn't a foul. Then proceeding to not give a penalty for the exact same foul on Calvert-Lewin, which was arguably worse. But we can't complain, really. I think a point is very good away at Brentford. I think, you know, if we get draws from our away games and, you know, get the wins at home, I think that's what's really going to help launch pad our season. But three games played, three games unbeaten. I don't know where to complain, really. I think, you know, obviously there's areas we can do better in, but results-wise, you know, we've taken 5 points from our last three games and two of those were against Liverpool and Chelsea. We're doing very well. But yeah, ultimately, it's what happens next week. Come on, Leeds.
Yeah, I have to say, my standpoint relatively is staying the same. I think it's a well-earned point. We probably could have got a bit more from it, especially because of Goodmanson penalty shout, which wasn't a penalty, and also the DCL getting fouled in the box in arguably a worse away. We probably could have came away and won it if the referee felt like being competent. But Ayo, a point away at Brentford in what is a place that ultimately feels like we don't really get anything from a lot of the time. You know, of course we have the final day of the season, but I don't really have that many good memories of Brentford away. When I think of Brentford away, I just want to curl up in a ball, go in the corner and cry. But a good result. That's literally most I can say about it. A 1-1 draw away at Brentford. That's fine. I mean, negatives-wise, sloppy defending at times. I can kind of see it, like, you know, for that first goal, I think, well, ultimately it was a be-all own goal. You know, it was going wide, I'm pretty sure, and he just managed to flick it in. So that's a bit annoying. But yeah, but that's just the nature of it. We're Leeds United. We're not this top, like, six side who are going to have a pristine defence. Stuff like that's going to happen, and you know it's all about the mentality that we continue with in the game, which you know led to an equaliser in like the 80th minute, which was great, just what we wanted. But let's crack on with the Merv Awards. Let's see how the players did. Right, Merv Awards time. This is where we rank every single player out of 10 who played in the most recent game, which was, of course, Brentford away last Sunday. Then at the end of the season, we're going to tally up all the points and we're going to see who is the Merv Award winner. So let's get stuck into it. Starting off with the goalkeeper, of course, Perry, giving him a 7. Thought he had a decent game. Made a good couple saves from time to time as well. He looked a lot more solid. Not shaky, I don't think so. You know, in the past few games, I think there's been a bit of a problem where he's been making the saves, but at the same time, he's also looking like he could just concede at any moment. But yeah, Perry, great game, 7. Goodmanson also giving him a 7. I think he dealt with Atara quite well. Maybe could have done a bit more going forwards and stuff. And then he got very unlucky with the penalty call as well, which just wasn't a penalty. But again, a solid game from Goodmanson, giving him a 7. Rodon, 6. I think he was getting dragged out of position quite a few times, which was like led to them running in behind quite a lot, which, you know, led to a couple scares. But he had a decent game, giving him a 6. Strike, giving a 7, had a pretty solid game. Be all 5, but purely for the fact of the own goal. Don't get me wrong, he's done the correct thing to block it. However, get a stronger foot behind it, Beal. Get a stronger foot behind it, because there's no way that should be going in from a block like that. That's ludicrous. And then Bogle, given a 7, had a solid game. Ampadu, 7. He was battling in that midfield. He basically made our goal with that tackle to get it out to Nomto. Such an important tackle. Stack, given a 7. He had quite a decent game, I thought. I've kind of not been the biggest admirer of Stack in recent times, but I thought on Sunday he had a really good game. So, given Stack a 7. Tanaka, given a 6, I don't think he had the greatest game, but again, it wasn't the worst, so he was pretty solid throughout it. And then Okafor, I've given it 5. I think this striker experiment with Okafor just doesn't seem to be working. I really like the prospect of it a lot of the time with, you know, the idea of what Okafor can do as a striker, because you've got DCL next to him. To me, that just reeks of flick-ons, hold-up play. Play it into the channels for Okafor. And we kind of did that in the first half where he had that shot. He probably should have scored. But I don't think he had the greatest of games, giving him a 5. DCL giving an 8. I mean, the 8 is purely for that header in itself. I mean, what a ball from Willy Nonto, and what a header from DCL. I remember watching him jump up to it, and it felt like he was in the air for an age. It was like that Ronaldo goal where he scored that header where he jumped like 3 meters up in the air. But DCL, wow, what a header, giving him an 8. He had a great game. And then, of course, Willy Nonto, 7, an amazing cross into the box for DCL. Nonto is looking like a cracking player. I feel like we need to find a way to shoehorn him into this team, because he's a good player. This is the thing with Nonto, he is a good player. We've seen him perform in the Premier League ages ago when he was younger as well. Imagine what he could do now. I think Nonto could be important for us this season, and we need to keep him. I know some people are saying we should sell him. Dad, don't sell Nonto. Keep him. Aronson, given a 5, came on, just didn't do too much. Same with Harrison and Justin. Both 5s, came on, didn't do a lot, but we got the point. That's all that matters at the end of the day, is getting that point, because it's a difficult place to go to, Brentford. I think Leeds United's history says that as well. Getting a point, happy days, and it's in London. Move on to the next game. Right, let's crack on with all the pre-match conversation. This is what you came for at the end of the day. So, Farks Presser, let's find out what we know. So, injuries-wise, Nemecha is still out. It just sounded like it might be for this game, and he will be back next week, in which I think he should just come straight into the team, because I think Nemecha is a very good striker. So, maybe a bit of good news on that. Dan James is still out for 8 weeks, so we're not going to be seeing him for a while. Longstaff progressing well as well, so probably might see him after the new year. But yeah, injuries-wise, just a lot of the same. It's a bit gutting about Nemecha. I'd really like to see Nemecha come back, because he was absolutely on fire. I was loving it. I was loving Nemecha, and it was absolute bugger when he got out injured. But, ayo, it's a cruel game. What else did Fark say? I thought he was really pushing for a DCL England call-up. Like, this, I think this is like the second or third press conference now where Daniel Farke's decided to turn around and go, yeah, I think DCL is one of the best English strikers in the league. To the point, in this press conference, he said, oh yeah, I'm not going to advise Thomas Tuchel. Why would you be advising him anyway? What, are you going to send him an email or something saying, oh, Thomas lad, start DCL, he's being absolutely class for us. You're not going to do that. You aren't going to do it. But yeah, he's been really pushing for this. I feel like Daniel Fark wants to see DCL in the England lineup. And I tell you what, if DCL keeps going at the pace he is right now, scoring 4 goals in 4 games against some good opposition, hey, why not get him on the plane to America? Get him on the plane over to North America. He's going to be a cracking player. Next thing he talked about as well, Pirro still in his plans, which I found pretty surprising considering Pirro just isn't getting a sniff at the minute. You know, he is getting no time on that pitch. And when he does, it's the usual Daniel Fark, let's throw the kitchen sink at it. Let's just do this. I personally think I'm in the camp of we should sell Pirro in January. With hindsight, we probably should have sold him in the summer when he had a bit of stock. So we could sell him for like 20, 25 mil. I think it's going to be a lot less now, probably around 15 mil, just purely for the fact that he hasn't played that much in the Premier League. But he is a good finisher. He's a decent player. He can be. That's what Farke was saying. He says he's a world-class finisher. I don't think Pirro should be in his plans. I think when we get the chance to, in January, let's try and sell him for a decent fee. And on top of that, with talking about January and transfers, there was no indication on players wanting to leave. He's not had any just yet. But we know, Leeds United fans, that that can all change very, very quickly, especially if your name is Sinisterra. So let's get stuck into the starting 11s now. So this is what I do, and also what I think Daniel Farke would do, or what I think he's going to do for today's game against Palace. So this is who I'd go for: Perry, Goodmanson, Rodon, Strike, Beal, Bogle, Ampadu, Gruev, Tanaka, and a front two of Okafor and DCL. Yes, I was slandering Okafor a bit before, but I don't see who the replacement is. I wouldn't like to see Pirro, especially in a game like this where it's going to be high intensity. We need our quick players on the pitch. I think play Gruev because adds a bit more stability to that midfield. I think Gruev's just the kind of takes a minute longer on the ball. Like, not, I mean, that can be bad, but it's also good for controlling the game as well. And I still think Gruev should be playing. I really think he's proved himself recently as well. But the back line stays the same. It's our best back line. You can't drop Perry as well. Ampadu has beaten class. And, you know, Tanaka should start. I still think Stack shouldn't start over Gruev or Tanaka. I just don't think he's that good. I think he just pops up every once in a while. What I think it will be, though, what I think Daniel Farke will go for: Perry, Goodmanson, Rodon, Strike, Beal, Bogle, Ampadu, Tanaka, Stach, and DCL and Okafor up front. Yeah, because Daniel Farke just loves Stack. I think Stack could, like, do some horrendous stuff to him and he'll still start him. But it's quite similar because I do like the lineups we're going with recently. Like, I could not complain about Stack starting because I can kind of understand why. I can kind of see what he offers. I can understand Tanaka being dropped because I just think we have a bit of a solid team now, especially with this formation, the way we're playing and stuff. We've got a solid team that makes me go, do you know what? Unless Brendan Aaronson's in the lineup, I'm not going to complain about the starting 11 whatsoever. But let's get in to the result of the game. So score predictions, of course, is the most important thing. It doesn't matter who starts. It just matters what the result is at the end of the 90 minutes. So Crystal Palace at home. I have to say, I'm kind of confident with this one. I'm kind of going into this a little bit, you know, on a higher platform than I would have been about like 4 weeks ago. And it's just purely because of the fact that we're unbeaten and free. Brentford is a difficult game for anyone, especially Brentford away. Chelsea is a difficult game. Liverpool, regardless of what you think of their team, regardless of the form that they're in, they have world-class players. That's going to be a difficult team. And we even put in a good performance against Man City as well. And we're at home. It's under the lights at Elland Road. I mean, I think we could do this today. I really think we could do this tonight. And what a night it will become. I think we can beat them. I don't think Crystal Palace's team is too amazing. I mean, they rested all their players midweek, so they're going to be ready for today's game. But I don't think Crystal Palace are all that. I think Oliver Glasner's just doing an amazing job with them. I don't think the players are exactly stars themselves. Glasner's just doing a decent job. I think we can get the better of them. I'm going to say 2-1 to Leeds United. That's what it's going to be. We're going to be walking away from Elland Road tonight on this cold Saturday night with 3 points, and I'm going to be the happiest man on planet Earth. So there you go. We're going to win tonight. 3 points against Crystal Palace. Let's have it. Right, Dad's time. It's time for Dad. You've heard enough of me talking about all the pre-match conversation. So let's crack on with it, and let's hear what Dad has to say ahead of tonight's game against Crystal Palace.
I think this is actually up there as one of the toughest games, I guess, as far as teams outside of the top six. I feel that these guys can score goals and have proven it in their last five games. They've got wins away at Burnley, wins against Brentford. A lot of the guys who we've struggled to get results against, and they score away from home as well. So having said that, our resilience and this new style of play seems to be paying off. I actually thought at Brentford we were really unlucky to go down. I think, you know, obviously the result of their first penalty was absolutely correct not to be given. I think we challenged them, and again it just comes down to like the Okafor chance and things like that, where do we score, do we not? We need to really up that consistency. So I think these guys will score. We're at home, 12th man. I think we could drag something out of it. I think it will be a 1-1 or a 2-2 this. I think they're going to be extremely hard to beat. And I think a point against them actually in their current form would be okay. I think it's only really the City game and their draw on Thursday. The one thing I would throw at it is, I wonder if they'll throw their full first team against us, if that's even possible. I don't know what their AFCON is. But they played on Thursday. They play again on Tuesday, which they've come out and said, like, the cup is important for them. They've got Arsenal away on Tuesday. We're in between here, away at Leeds. Be interesting to see what team they put out, but I think they will score. They prove it. So I'm going to go 1-1.
There we go. 1-1 from Dad. I have to say, a bit of a surprise. I'm a bit more confident than Dad for this game. But yeah, raised some good points there. I think, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what Crystal Palace do with their team today, purely because of their fixture congestion for like the past like 2 days, and then playing on Thursday, playing on Saturday night, then playing on Tuesday night. It's going to be interesting, but obviously I did catch the lineup that they started on Thursday, and it was just a bunch of reserves players, so maybe we could see a bit more of a first team in today's game. So that might make it a bit more of a struggle, but like we were saying, 12th man, it's Elland Road on a nighttime game. You can't really get a better atmosphere, so at least we can do our part. It's all about what the players do on the pitch at the end of the day, and hopefully that means they can go and get 3 points. Right then, there we go, LFU. All the pre-match talk done and dusted. Out the way. Make sure to follow the socials, Lad to Leeds on Insta and X. If you're off to Elland Road today, go have fun. I know I certainly will be. It's going to be a good one. Let's make a cracking atmosphere like we always do on those Friday nights, and let's go get an important 3 bloody points against Crystal Palace and continue this unbeaten run that we're on, extending it to 4. What a way to end a Saturday that would be. If you're staying at home in your nice warm house, or you're off to the pub, or you're listening to it on the radio, have a cracking time anyway. Whatever you're doing, just make sure you bloody enjoy it. Let's go get 3 points today, LFU. Let's go batter Crystal Palace. Send them packing down to London, down along that M1, and let's go up in the league. Come on, Leeds!